Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. June 2020, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. 3-year-old Bella was found unresponsive in the bathtub of her father's home, soon after passing away in hospital. For the last 10 months of her life, Bella was neglected and starved until the day her body gave out on her. Her stepmother, the main perpetrator of the crime. All because Bella was the result of her father's affair with another woman. This is Bella's story.
Detectives determined the child suffered from prolonged physical and mental abuse.
It's disgusting. I have no words for it, to be honest. There's no words for it. My heart just breaks for that entire family.
Bella Rae Sechrist was born August 12, 2016, in Verona, Pennsylvania, to parents Nicole Sechrist and Jose Salazar Ortiz. Bella's parents weren't together. Bella's mother, 20-year-old Nicole, and 27-year-old Jose were having an affair. Jose was already married to a woman named Laura Ramirez. They had been together for 12 years at this point and had 3 sons together, the family living in the Pittsburgh suburb of Oakmont. At the time our story takes place, Oakmont was considered a small town with less than 10,000 people living there, located in the Elgin County. For those who lived there, they would say it was definitely a small, tight-knit community, and so the local gossip train ran strong. Basically, from the time Bella was born, CPS became involved because of Nicole's drug addictions. May 31st, 2017, 9-month-old Bella was placed into care because Nicole just wasn't doing what needed to be done to be a mother to her daughter. Nicole was expected to do the bare minimum here. Submit to random drug testing, and to take Bella to all her pediatrician appointments. But that didn't happen. So Bella was placed temporarily with a foster family. Jose was informed about all of this, and he would petition the court for a visitation with his daughter. He hadn't been in her life to this point, but now Bella was without a parent. Jose wanted to step up and do right by her. He would be granted weekly visitation, and it seems the father and daughter bonded because Jose would then petition the family court for full custody. And he did seem to be the best parent for Bella. Jose had no criminal record. He had a steady job and a nice home in a safe neighbourhood. Everyone who knew the family would say Jose was an attentive and loving father to his boys. Jose would openly tell friends that he wanted Bella. And it seemed that Bella's mother, Nicole, was in full support of Jose taking Bella, signing over her parental responsibility to Jose. In support of her baby's father, Nicole told the court that she couldn't afford diapers for her daughter. Yet Jose had a family for Bella and a home and could give her everything she needed.
If she was going to be with me, she was going to struggle and not have what she needed. I didn't want her to struggle like I did.
Ultimately, CPS decided that since a visitation with him was going so well, custody of Bella would be given to Jose and Laura on a full-time basis on July 9, 2017. Interestingly, there wasn't any gradual custody access for Bella. She was just thrown into a household with essentially strangers. It would have been incredibly scary for Bella, who was still very much a baby at only 11 months old. CPS did continue regular well-being checks to make sure the transition was going well, though. But this would only last a few months before CPS closed their files on the now toddler. Now, after this point, Jose stopped all access Nicole had with their daughter, telling her she would have to petition the court if she wanted any visitation at all with Bella, because she still would have been entitled to as many as 3 visits a week. But Nicole just never took those necessary steps for her daughter. For one reason or another, after having custody of Bella for about a year, the summer of 2018, Jose decided to send Bella to live with his grandparents in North Carolina. Now, Jose's family adored the little girl. During this year with her great-grandparents, photos would show Bella to be well-nourished, well-taken care of, and had no apparent injuries. Bella was thriving in this environment. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. September 2019. Bella's father, Jose, picked the three-year-old up and brought her back to his home. From there, Bella's life would drastically change in the worst way possible. She was being neglected and abused. This would continue on until June 2020. The world is in lockdown due to the pandemic, so there isn't as much visibility on vulnerable children. And it seems those who were already at risk, the violence and neglect only escalated, because everyone was at home and there was no respite for these children. No schools, no daycare, no family and friends visiting to ask those hard questions and to realise something wasn't right. But during this time, Bella's stepmother, Laura, her 17-year-old sister, Alexis Herrera, moved into the family home. Then on the weekend of June 6, 2020, Jose and Laura went away to celebrate their 15th wedding anniversary, leaving the care of their sons and Bella with teenage Alexis. When the couple returned 2 days later on June 8th, Alexis informed them that Bella was sick. The very next day, at around 1:45 p.m, emergency services were called to the home on 10th Street in Oakmont. Once paramedics arrived, they found three-year-old Bella in the bathtub on the second floor of the home. She was unresponsive and cold to the touch. The little girl was only wearing a diaper. She was completely soaked, had a brown substance dripping from her nostrils, and her little body was covered in bruises. Bella was rushed to the nearby UPMC St. Margaret's Hospital, but would be pronounced dead shortly after arrival, the toddler weighing only just 29 pounds, or just over 13 kilograms. Bella was so emaciated, you could see her bones through her skin. Bella's hair was also very patchy and was falling out in clumps. She was that malnourished. And that's what the autopsy would find, that Bella's cause of death was determined to be due to malnutrition, also failure to thrive due to chronic illness and hypoglycemia. And that's all before we even consider the amount of abuse and neglect involved here. It was also noted that Bella had abnormal hair growth on her face and back, and this is the bodily response to no longer having enough fat or muscle mass. Because since no fat or muscle mass makes someone incapable of shivering, it takes a lot of energy and someone who is malnourished just doesn't have that caloric ability to do so. So to compensate for this, the body grows additional hair to keep the body warm. Now, according to the three adults in the household, shortly after Jose and Laura got home on June 8th, Laura had gone to see Bella in her bedroom to give her some medicine, wrapped her up in a blanket, then put a space heater next to her cot. The next morning, Bella still appeared really sick, and because she hadn't really drunk much, they gave her some Pedialyte so she wouldn't get dehydrated, along with some orange juice. Jose was at work that day, and around 12:30 p.m, Laura and Alexis ordered some Chinese food. When they went to pick it up, they would leave little Bella home by herself lying in her cot. When they returned, they noticed that she had a reddish-brown substance on her face that they believed to be vomit. Laura tried to clean it off Bella's face, but at that point, Laura realised the toddler was no longer breathing. Now, I would say the vast majority of us would then call 911 and start CPR, trying everything you can to save your child's life, but not Laura. She calls Jose instead of emergency services, and it would take him telling her to call an ambulance for her to take the most obvious course of action. While they were waiting for the first responders to arrive, Alexis had taken Bella and put her in a cold shower to try and revive her. The neighbours later reporting they had no idea that a female toddler lived at the home. They had never seen her, the first time being when the naked, emaciated three-year-old's lifeless body was being carried out to the waiting ambulance.
I told my daughter last night, I was up in the middle of the night crying many, many nights after I found out.
After seeing this girl brought out and then learning what actually happened, I assumed it was an accident, rough housing, because the boys are rough. And then finding out what actually happened. Yes, we were shocked.
As the investigation into what happened to Bella was underway, police soon discovered multiple text messages and as many as 28 pictures and videos depicting the abuse that Bella had been subjected to in her father's home. Investigators found 28 pictures that showed her mistreatment at the hands of her stepmother, Laura. In some, Bella was seen tied to the cot with her hands behind her back and blindfolded. In others, she was seen standing in a corner or inside a bucket with her hands over her head and one leg raised in the air. And she was forced to stand like that for hours at a time. These punishments oftentimes would come after she had a toileting accident, something that is completely normal and expected for a 3-year-old child. Not something that should be punished at all, let alone these torturous punishments Bella was subjected to. Investigators also found a heap of text messages between Laura and Jose in which they spoke about Bella's mistreatment. They called her such things as ugly and an animal. According to Jose, his wife Laura had a lot of anger which she took out on his daughter Bella. Jose said he worked as a drywaller and wasn't home 6 days of the week. It was almost as if he was trying to distance himself from what happened to Bella. What he would admit, however, was that he knew that Laura had beaten his daughter on multiple occasions. He stated he had witnessed this several times, when Laura would hit Bella with a belt or a wooden spoon. Jose said that he was on his way out the door on the morning that emergency services had been called, and he had seen Bella lying in her cot. According to him, she stood up and smiled at him. She gave him a fist bump. But I don't know about that. Given her such emaciated skeletal condition, I highly doubt that this is what actually happened. Bella wouldn't have had the strength to do all of that. Now, Laura and Jose weren't the only ones who were mistreating little Bella. Laura's sister Alexis had also participated in Bella's abuse as well. Investigators finding 73 messages between the sisters. They discussed the horrific things they did to the 3-year-old, and they complimented each other on how they inflicted the punishments. Both Alexis and Laura commentate, compliment, and narrate an incident in which Bella was restrained, tethered, contorted, and placed into a tiny closet. The message continued, showing a picture of the 3-year-old bound up inside this closet. There was also an incident in which Laura and Alexis used glue and shoelaces to tie her to a banister. Now, when police spoke to Alexis, she would claim that her sister would regularly beat the little girl, sometimes punching her so hard she would knock her out, and then she would have to be placed into a cold shower to be revived, this explaining why Alexis placed Bella in the cold shower when they were waiting for paramedics to arrive. Alexis also informed investigators that that weekend was not the first time she'd been left in charge of Bella. She'd watched her in the past when Laura wasn't home. During this time, she admitted to also withholding food from the girl, only permitting her to eat rice and water. She also stated it had been her idea to tie Bella to the banister of the staircase and a bed frame. Alexis also admitted to police that the blood they had found on Bella's shirt at the time she'd been rushed to the hospital, that blood had come from punching the girl in the face. But then when Alexis spoke with a forensic psychiatrist, her story would change. She told them that she tried to be nice to Bella when Laura wasn't around. Alexis claimed she even tried to sneak the little girl food. And the only abuse that ever occurred at her hands was one time when she hit her in the face. But then she told the psychiatrist that she only ever pretended to hit and tie up Bella to please her sister. Alexis said why she had all those photos and videos on her phone of Bella's torture was because she had planned on reporting it to the authorities, but she just never had done so. And the reason for that was, according to Alexis, was because she was scared that if she did report it, her sister would kick her out. Now, there were multiple videos that the authorities uncovered that showed Bella lying on the floor being kicked as she cried and screamed. There was another that showed her being kicked down the stairs, and this is while all the adults were in the home watching and laughing, calling her stupid, that she was an animal, that they hated her with a passion. In yet another video, Bella is sitting on the toilet while Alexis is heard mocking her. She's then seen kicking the footstool out from underneath Bella, who had to cling onto the toilet to try to hold on. The entire time Bella is crying, because she's been picked on by a fully grown adult. And then another video taken April 22nd, 2020. Bella is shown getting smacked by another child in the household. Another taken less than a month later shows Bella sitting in the corner while two children hit her. And then a photograph taken just 5 days after that showed one of the same children choking Bella as she sat on the floor. What would come out in a later criminal trial? It was Bella's half-brothers, who were instructed to inflict violence upon their sister, if for whatever reason they were frustrated or annoyed with her. Which, I mean, they are siblings. That happens. It happens in my household on an hourly basis. But here, these boys were instructed to take out their frustration and anger out on Bella. The toddler was forced to sit on her training potty for so long that her feet would become purple and swollen. But it wasn't only that. It was the small things that makes a child feel loved and wanted. Bella didn't have any toys, didn't have her own bedroom. She didn't even have her own bed. Instead, she was forced to sleep in a cot out in the hallway. And while the other children in the home were allowed to play outside, Bella was not. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. All three adults would be placed under arrest in connection with 3-year-old Bella Sechrist's death.
Friends and extended family of the child met in the park tonight where they say Bella used to play. They waited for 2 weeks for arrests in the child's horrific death. Tonight, Allegheny County Homicide has charged the child's father, 29-year-old Jose Eduardo Salazar Ortiz Sr., the child's stepmother, 27-year-old Laura Michelle Ramirez, and Ramirez's sister, 20-year-old Alexis Herrera, with the child's death and criminal homicide and criminal conspiracy and other charges. Herrera and Ramirez have additional charges of unlawful restraint and false imprisonment. A friend of the baby's mother say little Bella was being raised by her father when her mom was going through tough times.
She just thought that she couldn't provide the life that Bella deserved, so she gave Jose the baby, and Jose was supposed to take care of her, and he didn't. As far as I know, the baby was abused severely. She was starved. She was dehydrated.
May 2023. 32-year-old Jose Salazar Ortiz would be found guilty of third-degree murder, aggravated assault, and conspiracy to commit a homicide. Jose was given a sentence of 33 to 66 years in prison. Laura Ramirez stood trial next in July of 2023. She would end up being found guilty of first-degree murder, aggravated assault, endangering the welfare of children, unlawful restraint, and conspiracy to commit homicide. She was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole, along with an additional 37 to 74 years on top of that. Then in March of 2025, 25-year-old Alexis Herrera was also found guilty. This was on her charges of first-degree murder, aggravated assault, attempt to cause serious bodily injury, endangering the welfare of children, and conspiracy to commit murder. Like her sister, Alexis was sentenced to serve the rest of her life in prison with no chance of parole. Said Judge Bruce Beamer, quote, "The reality of how that house operated from January to June 2020 required Laura Ramirez to have someone help her carry out this plan of torture, abuse, and starvation. This could not happen without you, Ms. Herrera." Unquote. Bella's mother, Nicole Sechrist, would speak after her daughter's death, and she would say that she believed her daughter was targeted by her stepmother because she was the result of her father's affair.
Bella Sechrist's mom moved north to Lawrence County in order to rebuild her life. In fact, she was getting ready very soon to file custody papers to get Bella back. She had no idea the horror her little girl was living until she was gone.
Why did they think it was okay to do the things that you did to a little three-year-old little girl, my little girl?
Nicole Sechrist is a mother in shock and mourning. At just 20, she had baby Bella with the child's father, Jose Salazar Ortiz, who was married to someone else at the time. The young unmarried mother says she made the difficult decision to hand over custody to Jose after having difficulty raising the baby alone.
If she was going to be with me, she was going to struggle and not have what she needed.
Bella's mother feels her daughter was the target of a stepmother's anger.
I think that she just did it out of spite because, number one, that's not her baby. Number two, he had an affair. I'm disgusted. I'm angry and pissed off.
Bella's mom says that anger extends to the baby's father, who she says never helped for 8 months while she raised Bella alone.
he always wanted sex for me to get something for our daughter.
Nicole says she struggled to get diapers for her child and thought Jose, his wife, and family could give her a better life, a life better than the one she had growing up.
I didn't want her to struggle like I did.
Bella's mom not only wants justice for her little girl, she wants everyone to know the pain is unbearable.
I will never get to hear my daughter call me mommy. I will never get to see her graduate. I will never get to see her go to college. I will never get to see her get married. I want them to pay for what they did.
Bella would later be described by those who knew and loved her as a happy little girl who loved dancing, eating chips, and getting pushed on the swing when she went to the playground. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice. And subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.